If you go online, which is sometimes a dangerous thing to do, you will find that there is a financial organization that every year takes it upon itself to calculate and then publish the exact cost of the 12 days, the gifts of the 12 days of Christmas in that particular year. This year, 2014, they have decided it would cost $27,673.12. It's probably a little bit more than your budget. You can also go online, you used to at least be able to go online, and find something I hope you didn't believe. There was a rumor that was spread online, you know how these things happen, that song, The 12 Days of Christmas, was actually a secret Christian song. That it was written as a catechism to teach kids the basics, several basic ideas of the faith, and pass it along. So each of those gifts had a secret meaning. Trouble is, it was not true. It's obvious to find out, even though we don't know a whole lot about the origin of that song, we know it did come from the continent. It was originally sung in French, or at least it was sung in French before it was sung in Egypt, in English, in England, and then spread out throughout the world. It's caught on. No wonder it's popular. But when people found out that that was not true, that it was just a false rumor, they kind of, that sounded kind of cool. We like secret things in the church. We like to know things that other people don't know. But it wasn't true. And so the baby got thrown out with the bathwater. I think it's a shame because there is evidence that Catholics in England did use that song to teach the catechism, or at least some parts of the catechism, at least to have more fun with the song than perhaps their neighbors were having with the song. And I think it's a marvelous idea to bring two things together arbitrarily and see what happens. So even though the song was not written as a catechism, it's kind of fun to think of it that way. So we are going to revisit the 12 days of Christmas this morning. I'm going to become your, not your preacher, but your choir director. And a good choir director will let you know what you're singing about. So we're going to explore the 12 gifts of Christmas. You were wondering why you had boxes again up here in front. That's why. And this time I am going to ask, if you want to get a closer look, you are very welcome to come closer. And I could probably use a hand or two with these gifts. At least I'm going to have, I need some of you to hold them after I open them. We're going to start right here with this gift, which has a card and a big number one. Okay, and what do we find in there, Dave? Okay, look it. It is the Christ child from our creche in back. Okay. Now, a partridge in a pear tree. First day of Christmas. I suppose that you are thinking of some of the times that Jesus talked about birds. And even once he imagined himself to be, wanting to be at least, a mother bird gathering her chicks under his wings. Maybe not a partridge, but more like a hen. However, and you can spend your time reflecting that on your own. I want to suggest that the first gift is first Jesus Christ in the manger, not so much because of the bird or the tree, but because the Christ child who grows up to say he wished he would be a hen was God's first gift to us and still is God's first gift to us in our hearts. That's the place Jesus has in our hearts. We can think of him on that first day. And I'll let you find someone to hold on to Jesus perhaps somebody in front here. And we'll move on to number two. Okay, and I'll let you open that one, Dave. The two turtle doves. Now, you heard turtle doves in the scripture this morning. I think that's a perfectly good reason to think of that part of the story in Luke. They were the offering that Joseph and Mary brought with them into Jerusalem when they presented Jesus. However, the Catholics apparently, and in England, our brothers and sisters of long ago, thought that the two turtle doves could remind us of the two testaments of the scripture. One testament leading up to the birth of Jesus, and then the other testament, moving from the birth of Jesus on into his impact in the world. So, for this second gift, you're going to need to find somebody with strong arms, because that's a heavy Bible. Okay. All right, I'll let you help me open this. Okay, three French hens. What could they possibly be? Oh, what do we have in here? Let me read the card first. Apparently, the three French hens are to remind us of the Trinity. You probably gathered that already. But if you don't necessarily like to get doctrinal on the days of Christmas this season, there are other options. Like, there are other trinities in the scriptures, faith, hope, and love. And, of course, the one we find in the story of the Magi. You got it. You got it, Rock. Gold. We got gold here. And we have, take a whiff of that. It's incense, same for frankincense, and myrrh, an ointment. Now, you probably have already heard that these gifts have some symbolic values, and you can meditate on those as well. But let's not forget the exercise in gift-giving that the three the Magi, however there were, present for us. We joke about them. You know, they didn't know how to give practical gifts. We say that's why we know that they were three wise men instead of three wise women, because women would have given practical gifts, right? What can a baby do with any of these? But think about this. They gave things that were important to them. As influential people, these were some of the most valuable things that they thought of. They meant something to them. So in their gifts, they were giving themselves. How often do we give ourselves to somebody else in the gift that we give? The way God has given us himself in his giving. So I'll let you find someone who has careful hands. There we go. There you go. And we'll move on to number four. Oh, it's right here. And let's see what's in this. Four calling birds. It's a bell, but you're going to have to look with sharp eyes to the images. This is one of my favorite bells. And it has got some creatures around the outside. Okay, not quite a zoo. I find four. A human, an eagle, there's an ox, and a lion. Does anybody know what those creatures are? Those are the four creatures that Ezekiel saw on each of the four sides of the one creature. They were the faces, the four different faces facing each of the directions that Ezekiel saw in his vision. And the early church used those four creatures to represent what? The four gospels. So, the four calling birds in our song can help us think of those four evangelists calling out the good news to the world. And the fact that we have four of them here suggests not only that we have four faces or four perspectives on the story of Jesus, but that the story of Jesus is gospel, good news to all four corners of the world. Oh, I think it's time for the big one here. Okay, 5 golden rings. What could those possibly help us think of? Oh, right. You know what this is? This is a Torah. This is the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, I bet. Let me confirm that here. Yes. 5 golden rings. The 5 books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Golden rings? Boy, some of those stories are kind of brutish there in those 5 books. I don't know if you've read them recently, but wasn't it Tolkien who's got that movie out now, The Hobbit? Wasn't it Tolkien who said that all that is gold does not glitter? Perhaps these stories ring true. They're golden because they ring true like a golden bell. And we can see ourselves in those stories. Right? There you go. 6. Do you understand number 6 there? Here we go. 6, let's see, what is 6 geese a-laying? Okay. Oh, look at there. There's a calendar. That's pretty fun. You don't see many of these around anymore. A calendar. Let's read. 6 geese of lean. Think of those 6 geese as laying eggs only on 6 days a week, because they are to remind us of the 6 days of creation. And also, just being 6 then, they kind of remind us that there is a 7th day, a day for rest, a day in which we're not supposed to be laying eggs. And day on which we are not supposed to be working. Okay? So, next time you get one of these in the mail, before you toss it in your recycling, count the days again and remember the 6 days of creation and those 6 geese a-laying. I think that brings us to 7. And here we go. Oh, and this one's got 2 bows, so I'll give you a hand there. Yeah. It's another gift. Seven swans a-swimming. The Spirit brings us 7 gifts according to Romans 12. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, aiding, mercy, gifts for the body of Christ. We don't have them all in the same combination or express them in the same way. But since they're thrown together with the 7 swans a-swimming, think of that story of the ugly duckling who thought of himself or herself as inferior because his or her gifts were not the same as somebody else's. And then rededicate yourself to discovering God's gifts through the Spirit to you. Oh, I think this is the smallest one. 8. 8 maids a-milking. What is this? Oh, it's not milk. I know that. It's olive oil. Olive oil in the Bible times was a symbol of blessing. You quite often anointed somebody with oil. You poured oil on them. Just think of those dry, dusty climates. You know, oil is, after you get clean, oil is about one of the most blessed things you can come up with. It was a symbol of blessing in the Scriptures. If you count the Beatitudes, Beatitudes means blessings, in Matthew 5, you will also find 8 of them. Jesus will find a way to bless, even if this means lifting valleys. Even this means honoring lowly handmaids, milkmaids. The people Jesus blessed were not those society called blessed. You could say they were as lowly as milkmaids. Others were actually scorned. Jesus said all of these, even the lowliest of them, would find their blessing, would find their land of milk and honey. Number 9. Okay. Well, who's going to wrap these again for the second service? Oh. I don't know if you can see this, but we have a bowl of fruit. 9 ladies dancing in a basket of fruit. In Galatians 5, we find 9 fruits of the Spirit. We all get these in generous proportion. We don't always make full use of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control, kindness, faithfulness. 9 ladies dancing. Think of these 9 fruits, these 9 ladies dancing, as the qualities of life that keep us moving gracefully. Think of Miriam dancing for joy. Think of all the letting go you need to do when you dance, all the inhibitions you need to let go of when you truly dance. And think of the letting go of, think of letting go of all that hinders you, that all that hinders the fruits of the Spirit in your daily life. That brings us to 10. Well, we're getting close to the end, Dave. I'm just glad it's not the 24 days of Christmas. 10 Lords a-leaping. What do we have here? Anybody know what these are? Okay. The 10 Commandments. Lords a-leaping? I'm glad that men get to dance too, but dancing out of joy? Over rules? Over laws? Curiously, these 10 Lords a-leaping represent the 10 Commandments. A cause for rejoicing? Yes, if these laws gave you life. If you were a people that had no God. If you were not a people. And you were given a promise from God. That God would be yours. If you had a rule to live by that made you special. That kept you peaceful with your neighbors. Then, perhaps, you could dance over these laws. Just ask David, who, when the Ark of the Covenant holding the Ten Commandments was regained and brought into Jerusalem, ask King David, who led the parade with a wild dance. And why don't you give these to someone on the end, so when they hold them up later, people will see the front of them only and not the back, so people won't realize they're only cardboard. 11. Oh, here we go. It's a small one back here. Right? And I think you just have to open up that end. Aha. It's a pipe, a flute. That must be the 11 pipers piping. And I believe. Yes, our brothers and sisters in England way back then thought of the 11 faithful disciples when they thought of the 11 pipers piping. Faithful, at least eventually. For a while, they seemed as useless as Judas. Think of a flute, of a pipe. In order to be useful, it has to be hollow. It has to be emptied out. And once it is empty, then it can be filled with wind. Spirit, breath, The Bible uses the same word for all three of those. Think of those 11 disciples in the upper room for all of those days after the resurrection, emptying themselves of all their fears and all their other ambitions so that the Spirit could fill them. Think of the tune on Pentecost that they played, a tune to which believers around the world are still singing and dancing. And finally, number 12. Of course, leaves us with 12 drummers drumming. What about those 12 drummers drumming? What could they be? I know, I see a hymn book, don't you, Dan? Something we had all along. Let's see where the marker is. It's the creed in the back of the hymnal. 12 articles in the Apostles' Creed, one of the major expressions of belief in the Christian church. We are also, of course, expected to remember the 12 tribes of Israel. Our 12 articles of faith in the Creed may be no more perfect than those 12 patriarchs and their tribes, but think of all the repetition of that creed down through the ages. Creed comes from the word credo. We translate it, I believe. But when the word credo came into being and when it was used in the church, it was not an intellectual word. When we say we believe and we say something is credible, we place the action up here in our heads. I suggest we not think of the creed as some sort of just pure doctrine that we march to blindly. The word credo is closer to the meaning I love. It's a heart word, credo, I believe, not a head word. Next week in our worship, we're going to be looking at our hearts. Maybe you can remember the creed, I love. This is the God I love. These are the things I live by. When you think of those 12 drummers, think of those, that cadence of the creed, I believe, as a heartbeat. And think of all the gifts. And just imagine what a generous God we have. A God, as long as that creed has been stated, God has been loving people into fellowship with one another, into churches just like ours. A place where we can find all of our gifts and celebrate them together, particularly at this time of year. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate this morning than singing that song. So, I am going to invite you to stand up, and if you have one of the gifts, when we come to your day, all right, the baby in the creche for the partridge, the two turtle doves would be the Bible, that big old heavy Bible, the three French hens is the box of the three gifts, the four calling birds is the bell, you can even ring it when you get there. And the five golden rings would be the Pentateuch, the scroll. Six kiselein would be the calendar. You have it easy, right? That's light. Seven swans of swimming would be you have it hard. Just hold up one of those. Those are the fruits. The seven swans is the gift. Hold up the gift. Eight maids of milking, the jar of oil for blessing, Beatitudes. Nine, there you just hold up one of those pieces of fruits. Maybe a different one each time. Okay? 10 would be the Ten Commandments. 11, the flute or pipe. And 12, of course, the hymnal. Okay? And that means that this is like on the airplane when they say if you're sitting next to it, then you can't manage to open the door, you trade with somebody else. If you don't want to lift those up, you don't think it's in you, find a neighbor who can. All right? But all of you, come to your feet. And Julia, start us going here.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine ladies dancing, eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-six geese a-laying, five golden rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 6 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Amen, and very good work, choir. You may be seated.